So what's the name of this podcast?
Eugene
Cast.
How am I supposed to pronounce that?
Oig Cast.
A huge cast.
Huge cast.
You're listening to
Huge Cast.
That's right. You're listening to Huge Cast, a volunteer-powered cooperative where we talk with people who may or may not live in the Eugene, Oregon area. We think they have some really cool stories to tell, so let's get on with it.
Hi, my name is Adam Wendt, and I am talking today with Mark Davis. He has been a troublemaker downtown for almost a decade. He is not afraid to start projects and is obsessed with collaboration. His favorite project at the moment is King Pong, and he's especially excited about opening a new adaptive prototyping lab and highlighting Eugene as a maker city. He's on the planning team for the Nation of Makers Conference 2020 in Eugene. And welcome, Mark.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So what are you currently involved in? We just mentioned that makerspace stuff, maker conference coming up, highlighting Eugene as a maker city, King Pong. What are you? Can you talk a little bit about what currently excites you and get into a little bit more detail there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Last night was the first of three King Pong summer series events, and it went off without a hitch. It was opening night, and sometimes that's a little bit nervous, but there's so many things that can go wrong with King Pong because it's a large-scale audiovisual extravaganza slash, you know, party.
Can you describe it a little bit more? Like, what is this thing?
It's 1972 Pong. But we built it in 2019, so instead of it being 9 inches wide, it's 9 feet wide, 4 feet tall. That's the controller. And the little knobs that you use to move the puck up and down, they're ottomans. And so they're furniture ottomans built into this gigantic prop. And so we put people in costumes, we put them up in front of the gigantic controller, and then we project it on this huge blow-up screen that's like 20 feet wide. And it's like a big party. It's activating downtown space. It's part of Huge Fun, and it's part of the Downtown Program Fund.
Oh, cool. And then can you talk a little bit about the Nation's Makers Conference 2020?
The Nation of Makers Conference is a thing that's been going on for a couple years. At the end of the Obama administration, they created basically like a Department of Making. So there was some sort of agency that identified making of like, yes, the maker movement and making and STEM and all that is a economic driver. We would like to support that. So they created the Nation of Makers, and they went to every state and said, we need a delegate or two from each state. We'd like you to inventory all your maker spaces, all your maker labs.
What's a maker? What is makerspace?
So there's a couple of different types of makerspaces. Mostly a makerspace is where you go and there's shared equipment. So there's like 3D printers and CNC machines and lathes, and it's where you go to build things. And so instead of everybody having a garage that has all this equipment in it, it's like a shared tool library. And so you show up and you do stuff. But there's typically a little bit more to it than that. It's not just a shared garage, because that would be called a garage.
Right.
A makerspace usually has an educational component to it. They like to get the kids in there. Mm. They go to things like maker fairs, where it's a big show and tell, and everybody shows off the cool stuff they're working on.
Right.
People love to make robots. They love to make flying things. They like to make weird stuff.
So there's an interesting synergy there. Did you just recently, I think I saw on your social media stuff, you were just down in San Francisco or the Bay Area at the Maker Faire with King Pong? Was that what that was?
Yeah, so King Pong got selected to be at Maker Faire Bay Area 2019, where we were lucky enough to get two Blue Ribbon Editor's Choice Awards that we're very proud of. And so that's the Maker Faire version of everybody just shows off their stuff. It's a big party, lasts a couple of days. There's right. a smaller one in Portland, and we've had one in Eugene probably the past 5 or 6 years.
Is there one this year?
There's not going to be one this year that I know of.
Okay.
The Science Center that usually does a maker fair this year it's the like 30th anniversary or 50th anniversary of the Apollo landing. So they're doing Apollo-palooza. And so they're doing a more specific event around that. And right now, I don't think we have another driver who's going to pick up Maker Faire and make it happen. But the good news is that the Nation of Makers Conference is coming to Eugene in 2020. And so I'm sure we'll have a Maker Faire next year, and it'll probably be the biggest and most collaborative one we've had.
So what's different about the Nation?
So the Nation of Makers Conference is less about show and tell of the cool things you've done and more about supporting the maker movement itself. And so it's connecting different maker spaces, connecting different states, connecting different regions, and talking about how we can support STEM education, how we can support making as an economic driver, and just like the health of the maker movement in general.
Right.
And so it's a rooter, it's a big supporter.
How did this come about? How did they select Eugene? Why is this?
That is all Darby's fault. And so
Darby,
yes.
I can't pronounce the last name.
Nor can I, so we'll just have to go with.
So both you and I cannot pronounce her last name.
Right.
Darby, we apologize. If you're listening to this, we apologize. But
there's only one Darby I know in town, so I just call her Darby.
Yeah.
And it was all her fault. She went and made a ton of connections and talked to people. There's different types of making. There's like maker, hobbyist. I want to make a beer dispensing robot for myself. And then there's like maker educator. I'm running a STEM program somewhere. And then there's maker to market, which is like, I'm building really cool bespoke handcrafted lamps and I'm selling them on Etsy and I'm selling them, I'm fulfilling my orders and I'm doing all this stuff.
Right.
She's really interested in the maker to market segment. And so she's been talking to people around Oregon that make things here locally and sell them. And try to do it as a vocation.
Okay. And so she got involved in that to the point where she got a hold of somebody's ear, and all of a sudden, here comes the conference.
Yeah, and I remember hanging out with Darby at the 2018 Nation of Makers Conference in Santa Fe.
Okay.
And when they were announcing Chattanooga, which was the 2019, and I remember her saying, we need to bring this to Eugene in 2020. And I looked at her and I was like, I don't know that we really have as much of a maker thing going on as you think. And she totally proved me wrong. She's found hundreds of people doing local manufacturing, and she's made a giant database and she's starting to talk to people. And so I'm like her volunteer lieutenant. I'm just want to help make that happen and make it as awesome as possible.
Can we dig into that a little bit? Like this, you obviously have a lot going on, okay? There are things that you spearhead. There are things you get started. There are things that you are involved in. There are things you are supporting. In that process of doing things like that, you have been in various roles and stages of helping get these things that aren't happening.
I'm an instigator.
You're an instigator, right? Okay. Yeah. And you also connect people with the place they need to. Can you talk a little bit about the difficulty of the moment that something gets started?
Yeah.
It happens. And then keeping that momentum going.
Yeah.
Because I've noticed on one of the things that you have going and that you started with Eugene Tech was the local Slack that we all use to communicate, which it's almost like a secret spot for people that when people first find it and they're like, whoa, hang on a second, there's this thing where everybody's communicating behind the scenes. And I see frequently you on there asking people, does anybody want to step up on this year? Bar Camp was one of the things that last year was really successful, and this year
there wasn't
because the person who was the main motivator there ended up moving out of town, and so there was a void.
That is a super common story. Most meetup groups, most events, most things really that get started have a prime mover. They've got somebody who like flies that flag, runs with it, people get behind him, make it a cool event. And so like Darby's like that for Nation of Makers, and I'm stepping in to help her succeed there. But yeah, like Bar Camp's a good example. Everybody thinks we should have another Bar Camp. It was so great and we should do that. But there isn't quite anybody who's willing to say, I'll plan it, I'll go get the sponsors, I'll do the thing.
Right.
And so sometimes what I'll do is I'll do a open call for leadership. And I'll use the switchboard, I'll put a Google form together and say, if you would be willing to be on the leadership team for Bar Camp or whatever the project is, here's your open call. And so it's basically trying to give as wide a playing field and as equal a playing field for people who want to be involved with things. So it's less about the crony network, or it's less about, oh, Mark's starting a thing, or it's less about Usual Suspects. And it's more about, as the community gets bigger, we have people moving to town all the time, make room for them to lead stuff.
Right.
You know? And so it's like, hey, I want to lead something. Oh, have you ever heard of Bar Camp? It needs a leader. It's like, we've already done it once, and there's a ton of people willing to support you.
But they need a leader.
But they need a leader. And so one of the things I do is Mozilla Open Leaders.
Mm-hmm.
I took a project through Mozilla Open Leaders. It was the Open Eugene Festival.
Right.
That was the project that I took through, and thanks for hosting that. It was here at Trifoya. And that was a great experience, and I liked the program so much, I turned around the next time, and then I was a mentor for Mozilla Open Leaders. So I'm a Mozillian now.
So for those who don't know,
yeah,
what is Mozilla?
Mozilla is a couple of things. It's mostly known for building the world's free and open source browser, right?
Firefox.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And not then, the movie.
Firefox, not the movie.
Not the movie with Clint Eastwood.
You're dating yourself.
But the browser, yes, I know. Well, it's a great film.
The other side of Mozilla is the Mozilla Foundation. And they are champions of the open web. And so what they like to do is they like to engage as many people as possible and participating on the web. They don't want to see just three or four big players dominating the web. They would like to see everybody contributing to it. And so if it's putting Wi-Fi, you know, Wi-Fi-ing together wells in Africa so they're more efficient, or doing something as simple as the Open Eugene Festival, which tries to galvanize the open source folks in a region to participate more, they'd like to support those sorts of things. And one of the things that they put together is MozFest every year in London. And
you've been to that?
Yeah, I was able to do that because I went through the Mozilla, because I took a project through.
Right.
And I participated, I guess, at a high enough level that I was able to get, I was invited to go. And, you know, they give you a travel stipend.
Great.
To help you get there. And that was an amazing thing because it's all over the world. And so
the Mozilla stuff, that's a nonprofit.
Mozilla Foundation is a nonprofit. Yeah.
But they're funded in part by some of the things that
oh, I'm sure the National Science Foundation and Google, and like, well, maybe they don't take money from Google, but you know, it'll be you know, yeah, they're well funded because there's a lot of people in the world who think that the web should be open, and they want to support the open web, and they agree and align with the mission of Mozilla. I am not a Mozilla spokesperson, even though I sound like one. I'm a huge fan, but you know, I'm not paid by them or anything like that.
When it comes to instigating the stuff that that's going on in town here, I notice that you don't get frustrated as well outwardly. Maybe you do.
I definitely have my frustrations. I try to be careful with my public persona, that I'm, you know, just 100% positive. Let's all work together, you know, get this stuff going on. Sure, of course, there's frustrations. But mostly what I've learned is if I'm not getting positive feedback from a project, I'm just going to use my 2 feet and I'm just going to walk away. because there's so many other things that give me positive feedback. I'm just gonna head towards the light, you know.
Well, then that kind of gets to another thing that that I have a question about, which is why do you do that? Why do you take the time to instigate things, to start things, to do stuff? And I get a sense that there's a feeling of positivity that you get from it. There's a satisfaction that you get from it.
Oh, absolutely.
And without that, it's not worth it.
Yeah, nothing makes me more happy to see a team come together and do a project and see it be awesome. And there's really no one in charge, right? Like everybody was able to find their spot, make it happen. And, you know, there's just a lot of joy, right, you know, that comes from that. I also see gaps. Like I would like to see, I think I know what's possible in Eugene. And so when I see things that don't exist, I question that and I say, why don't we have a co-working space? You know, and when I was complaining to a friend of mine back in 2010, okay, I was like, this place sucks. I'm getting out of here. There's no tech community. There's no co-working going on. There's no whatever. And I was just like kind of off on a tirade. And my friend turned to me and said, or you can change it. Mm-hmm. And basically just gave me permission to not ask for other people's permission and say, right, fine. So, you know, so I'm going to go. So I started a co-working space.
Right. And the co-working space you started was?
The Code Shops.
It's called Code Shops.
The Code Shops co-working space started in 2011. And the way I started it was I went to a Smart Ups pub talk.
Okay.
And I asked the MC if I could have the mic at the very end when they were done, you know, doing their thing. And they looked at me funny and said,
that usually doesn't end well.
Yeah. They looked at me funny and they said, sure, I guess. And so I just went up there and said, we need a co-working space in Eugene. Hi, my name is Mark Davis. I'd like to start one. If you know what that means and you also believe we should have a co-working space, come meet me. I'll be over at this table. And yeah, four or five people met me over at the table, and like 3 days later we started a company and opened up the Code Shop space.
Right. And it wasn't necessarily to become rich and famous.
No, running a co-working space
opposite,
is
right?
Unless you're WeWork, right? Right. Running a co-working space is kind of a get rich never
endeavor. I don't think they're actually making any money.
I don't know.
I hear they're not profitable. But that's beside the point. WeWork is not profitable.
It wasn't, you know, and it wasn't. And I've seen people do co-working as like, oh, I overbought. I have too much space, so I'll do like this co-working, you know,
yeah,
up front.
Which we've thought about doing sometimes. But
yeah.
Now we're fine, but go ahead.
Yeah, so the funny thing is about working in groups is not everyone's intention is the same. And that's true in Code Shops as well. Like, I have much more ambitious plans for co-working than my business partners might have.
Right.
You know, I want to do, you know, we've been toying around with the idea of creating a connection with Rio de Janeiro. I've got a friend that's got a co-working space there, and we've done this Portal to Rio thing, and we're trying to, you know, and these are all very aspirational, you know, things, but it might just happen. You know,
right,
if we keep putting positive energy into it, we might just end up with a program where if you're in Eugene and you want to cut out for a month and go to Rio de Janeiro, we've got you totally covered.
You have an office space, you have a network, you have folks that can show you around,
yep,
and help you even find someplace that's viable to stay while you're down there.
Oh, yeah. Co-working, co-living, the whole package. And you can kind of decide what you want to do if you just want to pay your money and show up. There's a deluxe package for that. If you want to like stay in hostels and use the co-working stuff and kind of be left alone, they'll help you navigate around the city and yeah, stuff like that. That hasn't happened yet, but we've talked about it a lot.
And if those folks want to come up here,
mm-hmm,
they can do the same thing.
Yeah, because if you live in the Pacific Northwest, you might not realize that it's like a destination. Like, it's an exotic destination for people who don't visit the Pacific Northwest. And so people in Rio de Janeiro might really like to hang out in Eugene for a month.
That sounds interesting, actually.
Yeah, so we're going to try to set up a cultural exchange Cool. You know, and some of that. And the reason I mention that is like that's kind of a me thing. That's kind of like I'm just kind of doing that. The rest of the folks in the space are like, cool. If you want to do that, knock yourself out.
Right. Know? So coming back around to the thing is that you get a lot of satisfaction from connecting people, from starting things, from giving people opportunities, from making space for things, for filling gaps. You're an ambassador.
That's my favorite. My favorite title is ambassador. Sometimes when I get added to a project, I say, yes, I'll do it on one condition, that my title is ambassador.
Must be ambassador. I usually say king.
King, but,
Weirdly, nobody has really taken me up, so I don't really get invited anymore. No, I'm just kidding. But so you get invited to a lot of events. You get invited to sit on a lot of boards, probably.
A true story. Yeah.
You probably get invited to a lot of parties.
I do.
You get a lot of Christmas gifts of drinks and chocolate and
stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like what a good ambassador does, right?
That's right.
And go to parties, mingle, talk to people. Don't really have any real influence or, power or money or anything like that. But yeah, I'll hang out.
Right. And full disclosure for those listening to this podcast that Mark Davis was probably the primary instigator of the huge cast thing and was and is the, how do we say it in our outro? You provide enthusiasm.
Enthusiasm. Nice.
So kind of moving on.
Well, I just want to say you did a great job, taking that spark of there should be, a really great podcast in Eugene and stepping up and leading and making it happen. Your whole team.
Right. And it's a whole team of that. Yeah,
and like I don't have anything to do with it now.
Yeah. I mean, I have to agree. There's no leadership. We just, for those of you who are listening, we're winging it. But let's talk a little bit about some of the other stuff. So we talked about King Pong.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about Code Shops, your co-working space.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about your identity here in town as far as like where you live. Like you have a unique living situation. Like I don't think I've ever seen you drive.
Oh, right.
A vehicle. Okay.
I do drive. Yeah.
Yes. Because you have to, because number one, you live in Veneta.
I live in Veneta. I have a house in Veneta with my brother.
Right.
On Fern Ridge. Yeah.
Right. But then you also work downtown.
At
Code Shops.
Code Shops is on Willamette and Broadway.
Right. But then you also live an alternate life up north.
On the weekends, I'm in Sherwood.
Right. And why? Why? How could you possibly do all this and still make it up to Sherwood every weekend? Why would you do that?
Well, that's when I met my wife and we were dating, she was living in Sherwood. Mm-hmm. She still does. And I was living down here. And I kind of still do. And so I got on this weekly schedule of like cruising up to Sherwood on the weekends and cruising back down here midweek and just never kind of broke the cycle. And so like Wednesday, like today, is pretty much the only day that I do community stuff.
Right.
And so, if I can't attend the meeting because it's not on a Wednesday, then maybe I can't participate with that project
and that's the way the world works for
that's
you.
Just
that's Mark's world.
Yeah. And don't expect me to show up to too many weekend things down here in Eugene. We make exceptions, right. Like I mean, these aren't hard and fast rules,
right?
But Heather's got a house in Sherwood. We've got other family up there. We've got family in Seattle, and so Sherwood's actually pretty centrally located. Mm-hmm. To our universe.
And that's been, you've been doing that now, let's see, you got married a couple years ago, but you've been dating for years probably, and so.
Oh, 10 years probably, yeah.
And so you've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, and I really, I appreciate that time in the car. I know it sounds weird, people are anti-car right now. I mean, I get to go in a pretty much soundproof environment for, 2 hours at a shot. And I do things like call people, I'll call people like other makers, on another coast or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or I'll just listen to podcasts,
Right.
And stuff
and
like
so
that.
So it gives you an opportunity to kind of catch up on your own thoughts.
Oh, yeah. You'd be surprised how much inspiration I have on those drives.
I've experienced that same thing when I make those long drives. I'm like, you know, this is exactly, or I'll even plan out a particular book that I've been wanting to listen to that is maybe one of those books that would make me fall asleep normally.
Right.
But if I'm driving, I'm going to be good to go.
Yeah.
But it's an it's inspirational, but at the same time, too complicated for the just sitting down and going, I'm going to listen to this book. I have to be driving.
Yeah. So, yeah, it is a pretty wacky schedule, but it seems to work for us.
Yeah.
And so we do it, but it is a funny thing that I actually don't live in Eugene. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you don't live in Eugene, but you've been a major moving force in rejuvenating, I think, downtown Eugene, because that's where Code Shop started.
That's when it started.
Right.
The downtown revitalization was like 2010, 2011.
Right.
We were the first tenant, besides Pivot Architecture, in the Broadway Commerce Center.
Right.
And we've been a big part of that second floor, small offices, you know,
right.
Startup and scene.
For those listening to the show, the Broadway Commerce Center is on the corner of Broadway, obviously.
And Willamette.
And Willamette, which is like...
It's ground zero
ground
for
zero,
Eugene.
Yeah,
Eugene.
Yeah.
That's Kesey Square. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the Barn Light, Sizzle Pie, Voodoo, Killer Burger. Yeah, all that stuff.
Code Shops was like one of the first tenants to say, I'm in. You signed the lease. You said, we're going to do this crazy thing in this building downtown where there is nothing going on.
There was nothing there.
There was nothing going on.
It took a couple of years for everything to show up.
Right. I blame you for that. I mean, I blame you in part, you and a number of different folks to kind of get the thing going downtown. Having Code Shops pop up and unify that second floor of that building and kind of make this thing happen there. It's really fascinating to see that evolve and to have it evolve with Barn Light kind of anchoring the downstairs.
Oh, yeah. Barn Light's the center of the universe.
Community center, or it's kind of like what I call Sam Bonds, which is it's the Grange Hall
right.
for the area. It's basically a Grange Hall.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing karaoke on Thursdays, and you got. And so, can we talk a little bit about Tech Tuesday?
Oh, yeah. Tech Tuesday has been going on for, I'd have to look it up, a while.
Long.
A long time. Probably
long 20. Ass time.
Probably 2014, 2015, yeah. Something like
so
that.
So 6, 7, 5 years, 5 years?
Maybe? Yeah,
five
so years. It's the most consistent, inconsistent meeting of tech folks in Eugene. And the definition of tech folks has gotten very loose over
since
the years.
Since I go.
Yeah. Well, it's like, exactly. We get a lot of artists, a lot of yeah. just folks working on projects. It's mostly right. like the project hub, you know,
right.
kind of thing. If you want to get involved with something, that's the place to kind of show up. It's also the big onboarding. If you're new to town, people yeah. find out, you know, if you're looking, especially in tech, if you're looking for a tech thing, you find that pretty quickly. And the reason I say it's the most consistent inconsistent is like it also doesn't have a leader. And so there's a thing called the Golden Unicorn of Awesome. And people who've been before know that, oh, when it's time for Tech Tuesday to start, somebody should take down the Golden Unicorn of Awesome, or two or three of them now, and put them on tables. And so people know when they show up, just look for the Golden Unicorn of Awesome. And then people who are sitting at the table know that when you see somebody wandering around looking for unicorns, that you be nice to them and welcome them in and, you know, have a warm and inviting flavor.
Introduce them to people.
Exactly.
Ask them who they are, what's going on with you, how are you doing. Then Tech Tuesday happens currently and has since basically the beginning at the Barn Light, which is on the corner of Broadway and Willamette in the Broadway Commerce Center.
True
directly
story.
Under
Code Shops. Yeah.
It happens at the Barn Light Tuesdays around 5, loosely around 5:30, people start to show up.
Yeah.
And who knows who's going to be there. I frequent it sometimes when I'm up for a laugh. I enjoy the folks' company, and I love meeting the new folks. And I I've noticed sending people down there and saying, like, I've noticed this, Mark, that when I meet a new person that who's come to town and they're in a space that I feel is conducive to the Tech Tuesday crowd, I feel comfortable saying, hey, you should go down here on Tuesday at 5:30 without even knowing who's going to be there on the meetup group, right? I know that if I send that person down there, even if I'm not even going to be there, that they'll be welcomed, that they will be somebody who's like, you know, and say, hey, just look for the unicorn. And so just to back this up a little bit so that they don't come and try to lock you up in the funny farm
right
thing. There are unicorns, brass unicorns,
yes,
at the barn light sitting on the shelf that are specifically for Tech Tuesday.
That's true story.
And those unicorns come out and they go on the tables on Tech Tuesday.
Yes.
And that is what people look for, to know that those are the folks who are there for Tech Tuesday.
Exactly. And so you can go on eBay and you can search for brass unicorn 9-inch rearing. And somewhere in the 70s, somebody made hundreds of thousands of these things. And they're out in the world. And for $20, if you're patient and you've got $20, mm-hmm. you can have your very own golden unicorn of awesome. It's actually brass, but
right.
you know.
Yeah. But I just want to be clear, that unicorn serves a purpose at Tech Tuesday.
Absolutely.
And you don't have to bring your own unicorn, okay? Yeah, if you want to go to Tech Tuesday, you don't have to have a unicorn. You're going there to meet other people.
Well, you know, it's the physical manifestation of Eugene Tech's mission, which is to promote and foster open and inclusive tech community.
Okay, let's talk about Eugene Tech.
So Eugene Tech is a thing that started 2014 or something like that. It was originally going to be like a common calendar because there was a need for, hey, we got all these meetups, we got all these Facebook groups, what's going on? Can we just have one calendar? Apparently that's not a thing. We're never able to pull off a common calendar.
I've tried that in other places.
Never going to happen. It's not. So, and then it was a podcast. Like 2015, I think it was a podcast, some friends of mine. And we basically were doing, here's the upcoming events. Mm-hmm. And it was quite a silly podcast. We had a good time doing it, and we had some guests on the show. And that was an experiment in, could the three of us do a podcast?
Right.
And I think the answer was yes. We did it for a year. And then we thought, if we're going to do a podcast again, we'd do something with a little bit more meat on it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm glad that HugeCast exists because it's kind of
going there.
It's kind of going there.
Yeah.
We're
changing our format constantly.
But,
So Eugene Tech.
Eugene Tech.
Yeah.
And then in like 2016, 2017, it was just something that I was doing mm-hmm. As an experiment. And then like 2016, 2017, Jessica came on board.
Jessica?
Bobrowski. Yeah, Jessica
Bobrowski
came on board as she started off as an intern, and it was like mm-hmm. a social media internship that I posted at LCC.
Mm-hmm.
She was in the media arts group, and she came on and turned us into a real thing.
Right.
We became a Innovate Oregon project.
Right.
We were able to receive donations.
Right.
We were able to pay people. To do things like King Pong and right. stuff like that. And so she made it real. And then the next year, there was another intern, Kimberly Noel.
Uh-huh. We just walked in the door.
Nice.
She just showed up behind us here.
Right. And so we're all kind of buzzing around each other, like the Eugene Tech folks and the HugeCast folks and
yeah.
the BitForest folks and all these different uh-huh. organizations.
And the dev group and the gamers group and all yep. the different groups that have come about and circle around it. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot. The Venn diagram is very blurry.
No. No, okay. So, I mean, we've explored a lot of different areas here, and there's so mm-hmm. much more that we could talk about. So
those
we'll have to.
Poor editors.
I know. No. Actually, we don't edit this thing anymore. We just decided to just go straight.
We're just going to go straight through.
So, FYI, we're drinking water.
Right, totally.
Not scotch.
Right.
Right? Not the Glenfarkle. Good stuff. And we're going to end up having to have you come back at some point and talk more about all of these different things that we've talked about, because we don't want to bore our listeners.
Right.
Not that this is boring, but it could
be a little rambly.
Well, but that's rambly's fine. That's the way we roll. But we have other things we got to do, right? So
absolutely.
I just want to thank you immensely for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Here at the Elbow Room at Trifoia. And then we're actually going to head over to the Make Room now and have a meeting, because we're launching this bad boy here and getting things rolling. So thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
And
it's been a pleasure, my friend. Always a pleasure to see you.
Always a pleasure to see you. Thanks.
And now for some housekeeping. HugeCast would like to thank its contributors, volunteers, and sponsors. A huge thanks goes out to Mark Davis at Eugene Tech for providing guidance and enthusiasm, to Trifoia for providing equipment, space, beverages, and the occasional pizza, and to That Supergirl for providing web hosting. Our producer is Kimberly Noel. Music and soundscapes conceived by Mike Jones. Audio editors include Mike Jones and Christopher Mitchell. Audio engineer is Christopher Mitchell. HugeCast hosts are the amazing Adam Wendt and the delightful JoJo Jensen. If you like what you hear, please give us a review. 5 stars would be nice. And who knows, we might even read your comments during the show. So thanks for listening, or sleeping through it. Either way, thanks.